Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast. All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two go-anywhere pillows. Now MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows for 40% off, and that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep-healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow. All right, glad you're with us. Happy Wednesday, and it's the Sean Hannity Show. We got a lot of news, and I know it's going to be a nutty day when you have Katie Hopkins, the gobby one, actually in New York City, is going to pay us a visit. Let me tell you some of the things that we are following today. I think one of the more bizarre stories that the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, the guy that appointed Robert Mueller as the special counsel, apparently was interviewed by the special counsel. So you have Mueller interviewing his boss. There's such a dramatic conflict of interest here. It's almost unimaginable to me, but it's happening. We've got a lot more on the wiretapping issue that we're going to get into. We've got media meltdowns over Trump, how wrong they were over Trump and wiretapping. Their meltdown over the president and his comments and everything that he has been saying about North Korea and Rocket Man. It was funny. And it wasn't funny. It was also serious. And the left is in a collective melt. You know what? There's not. If this president gave every American, man, woman and child, $5 million each, it would never be enough for anybody. They are locked into their positions. They're not budging. They're not moving. They wake up in the morning hating Trump. They go to sleep at night hating Trump. They dream hating Trump. It's beyond derangement. It is now pathological on the part of many. One other thing, Cheryl Atkinson wrote an amazing column for The Hill that the headline is, "It looks like Obama did spy on Trump just as he apparently did to me." And I'm going to get into that story today. We're going to have a weather update on Hurricane Maria as hurricane season continues. It just is one of the, you know, seemingly one right after another. Joe Bastardi is going to be a fellow, co-host on the show before all said and done. All right. Also, Lindsey Graham is making a return appearance to the Sean Hannity Show. How many years has it been since Lindsey Graham? He doesn't like me. And he's been upset that I've attacked him. But I am inclined, on paper, after talking with all of my contacts in the Senate, all of my contacts in the House, all the Freedom Caucus guys that I was calling around all weekend talking to, anyone that would talk to me, the person that made the most compelling case for Graham Cassidy was Congressman Mark Meadows. And look, it's not going to ever be the perfect bill. And I want you guys to stay with me here. Obamacare is a train wreck. And, you know, let's be honest. There are probably a lot of you, this doesn't impact me. You have your plan, your doctor, you have your special doctor, you pay your copay, you're used to your plan, and you like it. All right, I get it. It's like, well, I'm doing great under the, I remember callers would call in, well, under Obama, I've never done better in my life. I'm glad you're doing so well, but there are still 13 million more Americans on food stamps and 8 million more in poverty, and I hate to tell anybody, but it's not always just about us and how we're doing. It's also about everybody else that has suffered, and millions have lost their doctors. Millions have lost their plans. You have more counties in this country that have one option, and you've got an $8,000 on average increase in premiums since Obamacare has been implemented. And it's destroying people. They can't buy new cars. They can't do anything, or they take the risk. Now, here's what Graham Cassidy does do and what it doesn't do, for sure. And I still can't get a copy of written text, so I'm holding back my support until I can read the specifics, because the devil is always in the details. And one question I really want answered is, when California goes to single-payer Hillary, Bernie, Obamacare, and they go bankrupt because it's never going to work, they can't come running back to the federal government and say that, oh, we want more money. That's not going to be the answer either. Now, the whole concept of federalism, I like. This isn't pure federalism, though, because the federal government's giving the money to the states. It seems to me on the surface, though, that if you block grant the money to states and you have all these Republican governors that want this, and the reason they want it is should be transparent, plain and obvious. They know they can do a better job with the money for the people in their state than the federal government ever dreamed of doing. And that's simple math. Probably you're going to get an extra 50 cents on every dollar. It's going to be so efficient. And they're going to be so much more accountable to the people in their individual states. And I like the idea of the states being the breeding ground of innovative ideas, as we always talk about. And the worst way to spend any dollars through the federal government. So in my mind, it's a really strong idea and concept. And I want you to have all signs of this, which is why, and I actually love Rand Paul. And since he's been on the program, I actually did a lot of research, and he's right. The president probably next week is going to use the administrative powers of deregulation, and he's going to allow states to create a competitive environment, which is going to open the door to not only cooperatives like Josh Umber in Wichita, but also the healthcare savings accounts, the two big ideas that were never discussed the last time we were all debating healthcare. So all of this is good. Now, it's going to get rid of the employer mandate, and it's going to get rid of the individual mandate. Some of the taxes leave. Most of them stay otherwise. And in terms of those of you that are pro-life, well, that is going to end up in a separate area of government and funding, and that means that it will be subject to the Hyde protection provisions as it relates to pro-life monies. So that's actually a good thing. So those are two things that we have going in our favor. And then I think that it's an opportunity to at least begin the process of undoing Obamacare. Now, I'm not supporting it fully. I'm trying to give you the facts is what I'm really trying to do. And that's why we had Rand on yesterday. Here's where I think we stand. Although, you know something, everybody in the Senate, they're so backstabbing and duplicitous. It's so obnoxious. It drives me nuts. And in your daily life, most of the people that listen to this program, you don't do business this way. I'm sure everybody in this audience, except if you're in school or you're younger, how many times have you done a deal where you shake somebody's hand? Like if I tell somebody on my staff, I tell my staff they're going to get a summer bonus. Okay, I don't turn around and they say, no, never mind. And then they say, well, you promised. And then I said, well, I changed my mind. And, well, we should have put it down on paper. My staff ever said to me, put it down on paper, I'd be like, okay, take your paper and get out of here. Because your word is your bond. What you say, you mean. What you mean, you say. Lauren's getting a kick out of this. Glad to see you're in a better mood today because somebody's been in a very foul attacking mode to the host these days over issues that I have no idea about. You said you're taking on Linda's hate list. Hate is a bad, bad trait. It hurts the individual that's hating. You should love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. Those two rules, and upon those two laws rest all the laws of all the prophets that have ever came before Jesus came. And Jesus is the one that uttered those words, so that means it's truthful and right and just and the good way to live your life. What?
I just want to say that I gave up my hate list because I have a contempt list because...
Hate and contempt are the same thing.
Because
it's
I'm going to toss some tables in the temple like Jesus.
No, that was righteous indignation. Your contempt is well beyond righteous.
But I just want
well
the right
beyond,
to toss tables in the temple like
well
Jesus.
Well beyond righteous indignation. And for you to justify your continuation of your hatred list...
I don't have hate. I have contempt.
Contempt is the same thing.
I can
thing.
Toss
it's the
these people
thing.
On some tables in the temple.
All right. You're not Jesus, and it's not the same righteous anger, and Jesus was right because it's supposed to be a place of worship.
I feel very righteous right now, actually.
It's supposed to be a place of worship.
Need a nice light formica table. You know,
okay,
light.
All right, your rights are over for the rest of the day to talk, okay? Because I'm making a point. So Mitch McConnell was reluctant. He didn't want to bring Graham Cassidy up. And my attitude is, okay, so let's say it fails. Right now it appears, now this is the duplicity, as I get back to my point. I'm getting word that people like Rob Portman and other people out there are saying behind the scenes, oh, gosh, thank God you're opposing it. I don't want to have to take that stand. And Senator Moran, where is he from? Kansas. He's doing the same thing. And you know what? And then when people tell me that they hear these people say it, there's like 15, 16 senators that go behind closed doors, and I get word back exactly how much they hate Donald Trump and what they say, how they want to stop his agenda. The only reason we're in this position is because you got 100 House members that stabbed us in the back and never had any intention of repealing and replacing. And then you have six or seven senators, including Portman of Ohio and others, that they vote for repeal in 2015, and then 2017, when it actually matters, they're not going to do it, just like the show votes in the House. So these are very frustrating and unique obstacles, but you still want to progress for the sake of the American people. So the answer is you either do nothing and wait till 2018 and maybe vote them out. Maybe it's just too much work. So you got to get done what you can get done now. So McConnell didn't want to have a vote, but he's planning a vote for next week because the looming September 30th deadline to pass the bill with just 50 votes will create enough pressure to finally pass the repeal. It's not a full repeal. Look, Rand Paul's right. But the president will use his administrative powers, which will create the opportunity to pave the way for health care cooperatives and health savings accounts. And I'll brief you on that in the days to come. I just don't have enough time now. But it did get a pretty critical boost in this sense, is that the Arizona governor, Doug Ducey. Now, Lindsey Graham's challenge is going to be to get two of these four people, assuming some other jerk in the Senate doesn't back away from their promise to at least improve the health care system. But that would be McCain, his best buddy. That would be Murkowski of Alaska. I know Alaska has health challenges. We can help Alaska out. That's fine. Then you've got Collins of Maine and who's the last one? Rand. Then you got Rand Paul. And I think Rand, there might be a compromise. And Rand has the power, hopefully, to make the bill better. I like Rand Paul. There's like few people that I really like in Washington. I really like Rand Paul. I like Ted Cruz. You know, I don't even know anybody else anymore because they don't want anything at this point to do with me because I'm too honest and too truthful for them to. They just can't accept the fact that the Republican Party's lost all identity and they're so disorganized. And then I like the Freedom Caucus and Mark Meadows. I'll bring him on again this week, and Mark Meadows makes a strong case for it. One of the most bizarre happenings in all of this, the 7 days, business days left before the Senate's last chance to repeal Obamacare. But instead of putting the pedal to the metal, you know, and getting these Senate holdouts in line, the Washington Examiner, I was stunned when I saw this today because they just had, let's see, a Memorial Day holiday. Then they just had a 4th of July holiday. Then they had most of the month of August off. Well, apparently that's not enough, because the GOP is now only under a major time crunch to pass the legislation before midnight September 30th because McConnell's too stubborn on cloture and won't go with a simple majority, which he should do, which historically we have done. And the Democrats are just so adamant there's not one reasonable bone in their body. But I will tell you, if we don't begin to change this fast and the Democrats ever get back in power, it's going to be a single-payer system, because this party has moved so far to the radical left. There's no blue dog Democrats anymore, very few of them. Anyway, now we find out that, well, they're going away on vacation again. I'm like, you people have got to be kidding me. Who gets this much time off? All right, 800-941-SEAN, you want to be a part of the program? We'll ask Graham the questions. I want to see the bill before I get on board with anything, but I'm inclined to support the principle of it, which I like. And you heard Rand Paul's arguments against yesterday, and you'll hear Lindsey Graham's arguments for today. And I just think the truth and reality of seven senators that never had an intention of keeping their promise, and the same with 100 House members, Republicans. All right, as we roll along, 800. All right, let's go to Tim in Philadelphia, because I'm laughing at his comment that's on my caller screen here. Hey, Tim, how are you? Glad you called. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for taking my call. It's an honor to finally be able to talk to you.
Thank you. The honor is all mine. What's going on?
I'm a big fan and a huge Trump supporter.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been thoroughly convinced that this latest push into health care is nothing more than a distraction. It's an avoidance to get away from having to talk about immigration reform and getting on the record. And also getting on the record about tax reform. I believe that Lindsey Graham has the no votes in his back pocket to kill this at the very end, and using this to get away to distract us. And I'm.
Well, let me ask you this, because I don't have a ton of time in this segment, but I really want to explore this with you. Because I've actually, look, I don't think Lindsey's in the group of people that really wants Donald Trump to succeed. So let's assume for a minute you're right. And look, I'm not making a final determination. I just like the idea of letting states control as much as they can and not the federal government, even though it's not pure federalism, as I explained earlier. But let me put that aside. Let's say you're right. And let's say Lindsey Graham has the no votes in his back pocket. What does he get out of it? What does he get to do? Because it's only the vote's going to take place next week. It's got a September 30th deadline. And then all the issues that you're right, they need to focus on. They're still going to be held accountable for what they do or don't do.
Yeah, I agree. But I think that when Trump pulled the debt ceiling off the table so they couldn't use that, I think they automatically came in the back door with this. This came out of nowhere. And I think that they're just going to continue to try and distract and dissuade and just say, oh, we ran out of time.
Well, here's the problem with your theory, because I've thought through this myself. I don't think it's paranoid or insane what you're saying. But the problem is September 30th is what, next week? When is it? Next Saturday? So the time is, this is it. It's make or break time. This vote will be scheduled next week. So it's going to happen, and it's either going to pass or fail. And we still got the 13 weeks following for them to stand up and pass their agenda or don't, right?
Yeah, and I hope I'm wrong. I mean, I agree with you. I support putting this back to the states, but I just, you know, I just don't trust Lindsey Graham.
All right, believe me, I'll even mention to him how much he hates me. All right, the other news of the day when we get back. All right, 25 till the top of the hour. All right, we'll get calls in here. My phones are blowing up because I'm putting Graham on. All right, everybody calm down a second here. This is going to be voted on. I want you to know what's in it. I want you to be educated, and I want you to be informed, and I want you to make an informed decision. That's it. You know, I wish I could put this picture up on the website where the bill, you got to remember, this now comes after three failed GOP repeal attempts in the Senate. And you got Bernie Sanders. Well, he wants Bernie care, Obamacare on steroids, and a single payer health care system. And there are different ways in which it impacts every different state. In other words, you know, in some states, Medicaid expansion is eliminated. Cost sharing subsidies are eliminated. Tax credits are eliminated. Individual employer mandate, they're eliminated. Some have changes to traditional Medicaid or taxes or essential health benefits and price restrictions on older Americans and health savings accounts. You know, as I know the White House, having spoken to my contacts there, the president is also going to use administrative maneuvers. And I'll talk more about this tomorrow. I don't want to get too off track here. And it's going to begin to confuse everybody because it's confusing. So I think there's a lot to get to in this. It seems like it comes down to four people. And I think the question, we first have to ask ourselves, am I right in my analysis, in this analysis? Am I right in saying that Republicans have made it impossible to do the job that we all would prefer? Now, if you don't, and then you could say, well, Hannity, you know, we just need to hold out. And okay, that's great, but you hold out. And what's the holdout for? What are you waiting for? Why are you laughing in there? Something happened that's hilarious. What is it? Go ahead, tell me.
I just love your callers.
What did the caller say that upset you?
I think
you?
That Rich on line five is just
all right.
Hilarious.
I'll go to Rich. Why did I put Rand on yesterday? Why am I putting Lindsey on today? Why am I putting Mark Meadows on tomorrow and some of the Freedom Caucus guys? Because I want you to make an informed decision. That's the biggest reason. And my inclination before seeing the bill is I like the principle of sending it back to the states. It's got to have some restrictions and caps in terms of they can't come back hat in hand and say, no, we need more. We adopted single payer. So all of you people that did a good job in your state and you turned over every nickel and made it work for the people of your state. Oh, now we want more of your money. That can happen. All right, Rich, go ahead.
Thank you, Sean. Lindsey Graham, listen, if the Tea Party was smart and put up one guy instead of seven guys the last time he ran, he would have lost, because as it was against seven guys, he only had 49% of the vote. I don't trust him. I don't like him. He's been a Trump hater from day one. If he and John McCain spent any more time on CNN, they'd have their own show, like Hannity and Combs used to have. And this is a $1.42 trillion boondoggle he's trying to put forth. And I'm glad Rand Paul was on yesterday and this morning saying he's not going to vote for this.
Well, I talked to Rand's guy Sergio last night, and they're looking for ways to make it better, they said. So we'll see what happens. I mean, look.
Straight repeal, baby. Straight repeal is what we put Trump in there for.
Listen, I agree. Trump can't do everything on his own. Everything Trump can do on his own that was on his checklist, he's done. Everything. So here's your option and your choice, that you begin a process, at least you stop the bleeding of Obamacare that is for. Listen, you're probably not living this nightmare in South Carolina because South Carolinians are way too smart. But if you live
in. They're not too
if you
smart.
Live
they voted Graham twice already.
All right. You're killing me here. All right. So so the question is, do you want to begin improving it for the people that have it the worst? Or do you want to leave it in place? And then if the Democrats get in power before you're able to put in the next generation of better Republicans, which could happen, then you're stuck with a single payer system and it's over. And that might be my thought is I'll take 50%. It's not 100%. I'm not selling this to you because I haven't read the bill. I'm saying I like the principle. Does everyone hear me? I like the principle of letting the states determine through block grants. I don't want California, New York, New Jersey, and Illinois coming back hat in hand, though, and saying, give me more money, because we blew it on a single payer system and we overspent. So you people in the red states, you need to subsidize all of us in these big states. Wrong. That can't happen, because you know and I know that's exactly. Well, you want people to die? That's going to be the next argument. And at some point, you gotta cut and run here. Reality check for everybody. I'm sorry that 100 Republicans in the House are full of crap. And I'm sorry that seven senators that are Republicans, they're full of crap. But you got to deal with the hand you dealt sometimes in life. Now, we can rigidly stand on our mountain and say, we're not changing in principle. And I'm going to tell you what that's going to get you. Nothing. Zip. And so I'm trying to balance it here, and I'm keeping an open mind. I'd urge you to as well. You know, there are smart people, conservatives, that are going to vote for this. Ted Cruz, the Freedom Caucus. And again, there's too many questions, and I'll ask Graham when he comes on. If I don't talk to the guy, I can't find out what's in it. I want to get a quick update with Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, on what's happening with Hurricane Maria. Apparently, as we speak, I'm looking at the Drudge Report, pounding Puerto Rico. How bad?
Well, it's the worst storm Puerto Rico has ever had. And when you look at Harvey was not the worst storm as far as the wind and the intensity of the storm. It was the rain that did that in Texas. And when Irma went through the Keys, there have been stronger storms in the Keys. But this is now the benchmark storm for Puerto Rico. It bisected the island, came in on the southeast coast, and is leaving on the northwest coast, and came directly across. And I would say that it's a catastrophe for the island. I cannot word it any differently. It has weakened considerably. I don't think it's anything beyond a Category 2 right now. It'll take a couple of days to rev back up again, but it'll be in that area to the east of the Bahamas probably by the weekend, trying to rev back up. And then we're going to have to see how it interacts with Jose, which is the storm that's weakening off New England, as to whether it ever directly impacts the United States or not down the road next week at this time.
This has probably been the most back-to-back I can remember. Now, we've had a lot of storms and hurricane seasons, but I don't remember you being a co-host of this program before.
Well, you didn't have me on in 2005. You didn't know me as well. Because back then it was as bad. And we weren't on the air in 1886. I think our great-great-grandparents may have been, but 1886, that hurricane season, I look at that map and I just can't even believe it. Seven hits on the United States.
By the way, Joe, you know when you talk about 1886 and the hurricane season, there's not one single solitary person in this audience that has a clue of what you're talking about.
That, that,
Not one person.
I understand that, Sean. I understand, Sean. But as you know, as you know, in history and the Constitution, everything else, it's very important to understand what happened before.
I agree. That's why you're the best. I agree. No. So, I'm just, if I can't give you a hard time, I can't give anybody a hard time. All right. So where is it going after this? Last question.
Well, it's going to go just to the east of the Turks and Caicos Islands that got just absolutely devastated by Irma. Irma went through there as a Category 5. And then after that, it's going to be a slow crawl northward, well to the east of Florida. I want people in Florida to just put their mind at ease about this storm. I mean, don't worry. Between October 1st and 10th, if something shows up, I'll be back to let you know. So that's I don't think Florida has a problem from this. Once we get it to
about the Carolinas?
Miles,
yeah.
Well, there's where things start getting interesting, because the storm may be out at sea, but start trying to turn back to the northwest toward the Carolinas for the middle of next week. So, I'm going to tell you something. You know, I like to swing and win all the time and be right, but I'm trying not to be wrong here. So we're going to have to just say we're going to put in this position 400 miles southeast of Cape Hatteras by next Sunday and Monday, and say during that time it may turn back to the northwest for a while. This is a very difficult pattern relative to the Atlantic. We see it in the Pacific, storms dancing around each other. It's called the Fujiwara effect, believe it or not. But in the Atlantic, it is a rare event, and so there's a lot of complexities going on, more so than normal.
All right, Joe Bastardi, we do love your historical knowledge, and one of the things you've been able to teach us here on this program is that there are patterns with weather based on the exact conditions, and you can go back and actually figure out what they were, and it gives you as much insight as possible, no perfection, into terms of what the track and the cone is going to be like on each of these individual storms. So we do appreciate everything you're talking about. Thank you, Joe Bastardi. Weatherbell.com, as you want to follow this. You know, we're getting some new information. This is really scary. It was reported last night the special prosecutor Robert Mueller's pre-dawn no-knock raid on Manafort's home after he testified in the early morning. He and his wife were reportedly taken out of bed and held at gunpoint. Like, really? Held at gunpoint? And Mrs. Manafort was personally subjected to a weapons search. I know probably it's standard operating procedure, but it sounds like a little bit of overkill here in my mind. Anyway, they entered with their guns drawn, which I guess is standard operating procedure. We don't want law enforcement ever getting hurt. And but it seems like at that point, I don't think he's a flight risk at that moment in particular. Now, this is the oddest circumstance. You got the deputy attorney general. Remember, he appointed the special counsel that Comey wanted because Comey leaked through his friend to the New York Times and got his best friend Robert Mueller to appoint the special counsel. But the person that made that decision, because Jeff Sessions, I don't know why he did it, recused himself. I wish he didn't do it. The Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein appoints Mueller, and now Mueller's team apparently was interviewed by Mueller. So Mueller is interviewing the guy that made the appointment of him. Can anybody say conflict of interest? Slight conflict of interest? This sounds too bizarre to be even possible. But it's all true. And, you know, remember the timeline of this whole thing as it relates to what happened with the leaking part of, you know, when it was announced yesterday. CNN has to admit that they leaked. Let's go to the mainstream media. Remember, I'll play this coming up later in the program. The mainstream media said over and over and over and over and over again, mocking Trump for wiretapping claims when Trump tweeted it on March 4th.
The bottom line is, and always has been, there is no evidence that Donald Trump was wiretapped by Barack Obama. It was and continues to be a lie.
Our conspiracy theory president is at it again. And whenever something like this happens, I wonder, what are the president's sources of information? Where is he getting these ideas?
And that has been denied by President Obama.
Obviously, has better sources than fake news.
And now we know it as well by the FBI director. They are all saying it did not happen. So is the president calling all three of those individuals liars?
I don't think they're taking seriously enough how devastating this is to the American system for one president to say, my predecessor wiretapped.
John, we have been.
All right, enough
in.
Of that. Now, this is what we were reporting on at the time with Sarah Carter. If you listen to this.
Now, there was also a separate FISA. It was an overall FISA. And I don't have as much information on that. That FISA, though, was a general FISA that covered the whole Russian hacking investigation. What we don't know is who was connected to that FISA. What was that FISA looking at? And that is very highly classified. Nobody wants to talk about that particular FISA right now. There is a distinction between a FISA and then a wiretapping. But they did tap. I mean, they were looking.
They did tap. They were looking. Cheryl Atkinson, she used to work at CBS News, and I believe now is with Sinclair, and she has her own show. And Cheryl Atkinson wrote a great piece today, and she went on to say, looks like Obama did spy on Trump, as he apparently did to me. And she reminds us of what happened in her particular case. And she says we're missing the bigger story as it relates to Manafort and how they did wiretap him before, during the campaign, and after the campaign. And she says it means the U.S. intelligence agencies, what I've been arguing here, secretly surveilled at least a half dozen Trump associates. At least those are the ones we know about. That would be Carter Page and Michael Flynn and whoever they pick up incidentally. Those numbers could be in the how many hundreds. And Samantha Power unmasking and Susan Rice unmasking and, you know, Rhodes unmasking, Ben Rhodes and others. I mean, this is insane. And then you got James Clapper and Sally Yates acknowledging they, too, reviewed communications of political figures. So what I've been saying is this is weaponizing our intelligence agency, the very powerful tools. They can listen to anybody. They can surveil anybody. And if they're going to unmask Americans and they don't use minimization, we have no Fourth Amendment rights in this country anymore. And they did the same thing to Cheryl Atkinson. We'll get her on the program later this week. But, you know, the patterns here are really, really scary and dangerous if you believe in the Fourth Amendment and your constitutional rights. All right, we got a lot coming up in the course of the program, including, yes, Lindsey Graham. And we got Greg Jarrett coming up and much more. 800-941-SHAWN is our number. Having the best conversations with people. A friend of mine, I just said, look, it's never what we want. I don't like it. But it certainly seems infinitely better than Obamacare. And I said, it looks like it's going to be 50% or nothing. So my friend writes back, I'll take nothing. So I wrote back. I said, okay, I love you for that. But what about the people, other people that are screwed? If it's better for them, don't we have to think of them in this? They're stuck with Obamacare. It's a disaster. All right, Lindsey Graham next. I know you're excited.
If they get Graham Cassidy to the floor, I will offer an amendment for straight repeal. And people, once again, will have a choice. And so people can direct their ire towards someone who doesn't vote for what I think is immortalizing Obamacare, keeping it forever and divvying it up among the states, or they can vote for a complete repeal that I'll put forward. And so then Republicans will just have to decide which they want.
It's a $1.2 trillion federal grant program, and that's just not repeal. I didn't promise people to keep a $1 trillion spending program and reshuffle the money among the states. This is not repeal. It's not even, it's barely Obamacare light. It keeps Obamacare. It's not what we promised.
We repeal the penalties upon individuals who don't purchase insurance. Upon employers, we repeal that penalty. We repeal the medical device tax and the over-the-counter tax. We save $134 billion. We give power back to the states so that states can come up with a system that works for the state, giving power to the patient. We drive a stake in the heart of single-payer health care plan. If somebody votes against our bill, they're voting for Obamacare. Mm-hmm. If you're voting for our bill, you're voting for power to the patient, power to the state.
You'll be able to keep your health care plan. If you've got health insurance, you can keep it. If you like your health care plan, you will keep it.
All right, you get the message there on the Obama side of this. We had Rand Paul on yesterday, and of course now Mitch McConnell is saying that he didn't want to bring Graham Cassidy to the floor unless he felt it could pass, and now McConnell has said that he will allow this vote to come up, Graham Cassidy, next week, and hoping that the looming September 30th deadline to pass it with just 50 votes because of reconciliation will create enough pressure to finally pass the bill. One of the authors of this bill, Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, who doesn't always like me, is on our Newsmaker line. How are you?
I hate you. How you doing, Sean?
Listen, you're not the only person. Mitch McConnell hates me more than you, so don't worry about it.
How you doing? Long time no talk.
Listen, I am actually inclined to support this bill for a lot of reasons, and I've spent a lot of time talking to a lot of people. And I love the idea of giving the states the power and the authority. I mean, it's not exactly, you know, federalism if we're talking about government money. But I get the intention.
I agree. It's not what I would like to do, but it's the last best chance to stop single-payer health care, I think.
So you're agreeing with me. It's not the best plan, but it is certainly at least gives states options, which I do like a lot. And it's certainly better than Obamacare. Here's Rand Paul was on yesterday. His biggest complaints are this. It doesn't repeal Obamacare and the taxes stay. Is that true?
No, not completely. We repeal the individual mandate and employer mandate, which are the heart and soul
That's
of
big.
Obamacare.
And Planned Parenthood
They're taken
is defunded.
Out at the federal level. Yeah, that's defunded. The money goes through the CHIPS program, which gives it hide protection in terms of the pro-life community. We repeal the medical device tax. We take the other taxes and we block grant them. Under Obamacare, four states get 40% of the money: New York, California, Massachusetts, and Maryland. They're very high-cost Medicaid blue states. So Kentucky's governor's on board because he believes he can do a better job with the money than Obamacare does for Kentucky. The president's on board because it truly is draining the swamp. It is a repeal and replace. And here's what I believe, Sean. If we get the money and power out of Washington back to the state, that's the end of the march towards single-payer health care because states will not send it back to Washington.
You see, I tend to agree with you on that front, and I think the ultimate goal of many is a single-payer system, which would be an unmitigated disaster. Now, it's interesting because I also talk to members of the House. I mean, you, for the most part, and he just wants to see the details, both Congressman Mark Meadows of the Freedom Caucus and Dave Brad of the Freedom Caucus, actually one other, Louie Gohmert, who I talked to, they're tentative, you know, real close yeses.
Yeah.
Let me talk about what's going on inside the Senate. Is your buddy John McCain going to support it?
Well, here's where John has been. He voted about 30 times to repeal and replace Obamacare like the rest of us. He campaigned in 2012 that Obamacare was killing Arizona, and it is. He is for federalism, and this is federalism versus socialism. Bipartisanship. John likes bipartisanship. I'm bipartisan when I think it makes sense. Here's what I've concluded, Sean. That the Democratic Party is going left, not to the middle on health care, that Bernie Sanders, on the day we introduced our bill, introduced single-payer health care in full-blown fashion, and every Democratic candidate, Sean, running for president is with Bernie. So to expect Chuck Schumer to produce a compromise that would fundamentally alter Obamacare is unrealistic because Obamacare is not good enough for the left. So there is no bipartisan path. This is our last best chance
so have you
to
talked
repeal
to,
and replace Obamacare.
Look, there's no two closer guys in the Senate than you and McCain. If you can't get them, Nobody's ever going to get them.
Well, here's what. I'm not expecting John to vote based on friendship. I'm expecting him to look at the bill. The governor of Arizona is on board. We now have a system where governors will have access to funds that would have been in the hands of a bureaucrat, and they can design systems as flexible as we can make it. It's not as flexible as I would like because of reconciliation, but you can do health savings accounts. You can do a lot of things. And to Senator Paul, Bill Cassidy's a doctor also. He believes that this is a fundamental change in how health care is delivered. And if my bill was everything Rand Paul said, why is Obama so vehemently opposed to it?
It seems to me, and by the way, you do have enemies that are talking behind your back. You do know that, and I always tell you the truth. I'm told that Rob Portman is running around thanking people for opposing it so he doesn't have to. And I'm told, Senator Moran from Kansas is doing the same thing. Have you heard that?
No, I like them both. I think,
aren't you glad that
Ohio
I give you all the
does.
Dirt that goes on in your
yes,
own?
Yes, you are.
You better check in with them.
You're a good source of information.
And when they lie
will,
to you.
Here's what I've said. But,
you know, you can tell them
Kansas,
I said.
Sam Brandbeck. Yeah. Okay, Sam Brandbeck's on board. He's the governor. Kansas does well. Ohio does a lot better than Obamacare. Because here's the deal. What we're doing is giving money to states in parity not just 40% to 20% of the population.
Let me ask this.
I call states.
So after California goes single payer with Jerry Brown, if this bill passed, is there going to be any cap that they can't come back hat in hand begging the federal government for more money than they get originally?
Yeah, the other states will object because it will come out of their hide. Here's what I think. If California goes to single-payer health care, it's going to prove one of two things, that you and I are right or they're right. Here's what I would think, that if you reimpose the employer mandate, people will move to neighboring states. You can under this bill. It really is federalism. You can impose the employer mandate, the individual mandate in your own state. You just can't drag the rest of us.
It's not pure federalism
because
it's government. It's federal money and going to the states. But I hear what you say. I'm not being petty here.
I mean, we're putting the right. No, you're right. The money and power. That is. Here's the deal. The money and power is no longer in the hands of a bureaucrat. It's in the hands of people you can vote for. If you don't like Obamacare, who do you complain to? If you don't like what I'm proposing, you complain to your governor, to your state house representative. And so here's what I think. If California wants to go full-blown Bernie care and their system will collapse and the people neighboring California will get a lot of people moving into their states.
Let me ask this. One of the reasons we're in this situation is because I argue that there's 100 House Republicans and the six or seven senators, Republicans, that voted against the same repeal bill that they voted for in 2015 really pisses people like me off. And I think the Republican Party has in many ways lost their identity. So here's my question. I mean, this is basically it. It seems like you're down to four votes, assuming you can get Portman and Moran and a few others. It seems like it's Murkowski, Collins, Rand, and McCain. Of those four, you need two. Who are you going to get?
Rather than talking about whipping people on the phone, here's what I'll say. I can't think of a better idea. If I could, I would present it. Republicans were told for 7 years by the Republican Party, if you give us power, we're going to repeal and replace Obamacare. Democrats are serious about their ideas. I want to make sure that every Republican and middle-of-the-road person knows that we fought like tigers. We did everything to repeal it that they did to pass it. So I think the power of this idea is going to take hold. I think Obamacare is collapsing, can never be fixed, and I'm hoping that what follows if this bill fails is complete disaster. President Trump is 100% behind it. So I'm hoping that we get 50 votes, but I do know this. We're going to vote. Republicans are really good at talking about what we don't like on health care. I am now in the position of telling you what I am for. I am for money and power going back home out of Washington.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back. We'll have more with Lindsey Graham as we continue the Sean Hannity Show. All right, as we continue with Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, why did the full repeal fail when Republicans voted for that in 2015?
You know, I think probably was the – thank you. Here's what I think happened is that everybody was worried about what replaces Obamacare if you repeal it. So I've answered both questions. So I talked to President Trump last night, and he says this is really a beautiful concept. You repeal it, and you replace it with something that's state-centric, more accountability, more voice for the consumer. So I've always believed that the replacement part has tripped us up. The other ideas, Sean, were better than Obamacare, but they were not fundamentally different. This is fundamentally different in terms of who delivers your health care and how it's delivered. It's a bureaucrat versus people in your own state. And that's what President Trump likes the most. And to my Republican colleagues, I'm the first to say that this is not a perfect bill. This is a block grant versus what I think will be over time socialism. Let's turn around. We can't go as far as we'd like in a new direction, but let's at least go in a new direction.
Do you think Mitch McConnell should get rid of the supermajority and cloture?
No, I don't, but that's not the issue here. We don't need 60 votes.
Yeah, but after September 30th, if this didn't pass, you would.
Well, here's what I'm saying. Since World War II, they've had the majority in the House, the Senate, and the presidency five times more than we have. You got to think about what happens tomorrow. But rather than talk about that, can I just say thank you for giving me a chance to express my voice on what I think is the biggest decision the Republican Party will make?
Well, I agree. This is, all right, because I know you're in an airport and I'm driving you nuts, but I'll be honest. I don't really care. You're a public servant, so. But here's the most important question. Listen.
Okay.
You have a lot of pull with John McCain. You have a lot of pull. And John McCain thinks that people like me should go straight to hell, as he said the first day back, which is really nice of him. And that's, I consider, a compliment. Yeah. And he considers people like Cruz a wacko bird. But putting all that aside, he did make this promise. You've been best friends with the guy. You gotta be able to tell me you can get McCain and Murkowski or Rand or somebody. Who are you need two? Who are the two going to be?
Sean, at the end of the day, we're going to vote, and all I can tell you is that I believe I've got a better idea than Obamacare by a factor of 10. And I didn't come on the show to beat anybody up. I came on the show to tell you that we got a historic opportunity.
No, I'm actually
people who are listening.
I just want to make.
I think, Sean, here's what I think about Senator McCain. I think he believes in federalism. I think he likes bipartisanship, but I just don't see a pathway forward. There's no way Schumer can do anything major because the Democratic Party is going
to. But you've
the
talked
other
to
way.
Him. What has he said to you? What has he said up to now?
Well, he's looking at it, and let me tell you what he said. I like the concept of Graham Cassidy. With Governor Ducey, and let me say, Scott Walker's been a hero here, but Governor Ducey from Arizona came on board, and that really helped a lot. Because he believes this will work for Arizona. So we're going to vote. The roll will be called, and everybody will be held accountable. And I look forward to the debate. I am so excited, finally, as a Republican, to have something that I'm for, not just against Obamacare. And let me tell you, they're scared to death. Do you think President Obama would come out against this bill if he didn't think it had a chance?
Oh, listen, I agree with you.
Dan Sullivan's been obvious.
What is
so,
the...
Lisa Murkowski, we had a really good talk with her. Alaska's a unique state. It's about 50% more per patient cost because there's so few people in such large territory. We're trying to be fair to Alaska and give them what they need because they're just so different.
Right.
I'm excited. I think...
You think it's going to pass? You think this is going to pass?
I really, with the president behind it, I talked to President Trump like three times a day. Mike Pence has been on the phone. I hope next week we'll have a majority of Republican governors come out for this.
Listen, I'm inclined to support it, Senator.
I'm
inclined to support it, too.
I hope you can.
And
with all its imperfections, I hope you can.
Last question. The president is expected to act administratively on an issue, a 74, I believe, state law, federal law that would allow states to then move into health care cooperatives. Is that part of your plan, too? In the sense that you're factoring that in?
He can do that apart from us. President Trump has really changed the regulatory environment. Here's what President Trump is not going to do. If this fails and the choice is to throw $980 million a month to prop up Obamacare without any real change, why would he throw good money after bad? And here's what people don't realize. Next month, there'll be $4.8 billion of employer assessments sent out under Obamacare, under the employer mandate. Obama put it off on his watch. Illegally, I think. So there are going to be almost $5 billion in new taxes hit the economy in October if we don't repeal and replace with our bill.
All right, Senator, I'll let you jump on your plane. Well, if you can, we'd like to have you back maybe early next week before the vote.
Yeah, I will, and we'll try to do your show. And
will you please also send me a copy so I can read it?
Yeah, I will, and you know, I will just let you go through it. And again, Mark Meadows has been terrific. I think Mark gets the big picture. This is the last chance to.
Well, he's the one that's convinced me more than anybody that it's. Listen, I'm always inclined to sending stuff back to states. I am. It's natural for me. So I think this is probably the best compromise we're going to get. And I actually applaud your efforts, considering you hate my guts now. But we love having you on. Thank you for being with us.
I hate your guts.
Let's make a promo out of that.
Take care.
All right. Bye. Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, 800-941-SHAWN is our number. All right, 25 till the top of the hour, 800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. I think probably one of the biggest lawyer interrogation beatdowns on public television was when Trey Gowdy took on James Comey. We're going to play this here, and then we're going to play Sarah Carter. Yeah, Trump was, in fact, a FISA warrant was issued. As a matter of fact, two of them were issued. And then we're going to play Greg Jarrett, who's going to join us on the other side of this, saying that Jeff Sessions needs to resign. And we're going to go through all the issues of why he's making that case and that claim. But first, let me start with Trey Gowdy.
I had not sent classified material, nor received anything marked classified.
Secretary Clinton said she never sent or received any classified information over her private email. Was that true?
Our investigation found that there was classified information sent.
So it was not true?
Right.
That I am confident that I never sent nor received any information that was classified at the time it was sent and received.
Secretary Clinton said there was nothing marked classified on her emails either sent or received. Was that true?
That's not true. There were a small number of portion markings on, I think, three of the documents.
I never sent classified material on my email, and I never received any that was marked classified.
Secretary Clinton said I did not email any classified material to anyone on my email. There is no classified material. Was that true?
There was classified material emailed.
People across the government knew that I used one device. Maybe it was because I am not the most technically capable person and wanted to make it as easy as possible.
Secretary Clinton said she used just one device. Was that true?
She used multiple devices during the 4 years of her term as Secretary of State.
But we turned over everything that was work-related, every single thing. Personal stuff, we did not. I had no obligation to do so and did not.
Secretary Clinton said all work-related emails were returned to the State Department. Was that true?
No, we found work-related emails, thousands, that were not returned.
All I can tell you is that when my attorneys conducted this exhaustive process, I did not participate.
Secretary Clinton said her lawyers read every one of the emails and were overly inclusive. Did her lawyers read the email content individually?
No.
Now, there was also a separate FISA. It was an overall FISA. I don't have as much information on that. That FISA, though, was a general FISA that covered the whole Russian hacking investigation. What we don't know is who was connected to that FISA. What was that FISA looking at? And that is very highly classified. Nobody wants to talk about that particular FISA right now. There is a distinction between a FISA and then a wiretapping, but they did tap. I mean, they were looking.
He has spent 7 months as Attorney General, and his tenure is notable for a series of failures to act where action is demanded. And he has done nothing about James Comey or Hillary Clinton or Susan Rice. He can appoint a special counsel to do it, a second special counsel. You can't count on Mueller to investigate Comey, for example. But he hasn't done it. And I argue that he has not just been unproductive and ineffectual. He has proven to be incompetent, and I hate to say that. I really do. Appoint an acting attorney general, which is anybody who's been confirmed in any branch, including the Justice Department. So there are plenty of people who could serve as acting attorney general until a permanent one is named. So there are plenty of options here, but Sessions needs to do the right thing and resign.
All right, joining us now is Fox News legal analyst Greg Jarrett is with us, and regular, obviously, on radio and television. And all right, let's start with Trey Gowdy, and when he had James Comey on, and he's like, it's true this, it's true this, it's true right. this, it's true this. And I'm like, he made the case, and Comey solidified the case, slam dunk, breaking, violating laws.
He totally did. You know, look, first, Comey used his office and stole, essentially, government documents, and then he conferred them to his own benefit and leaked them to the media for the sole purpose of appointing a special prosecutor. That's a violation of the law, 18 U.S.C. 641 and a couple of other statutes. So Comey violated the law. But the other thing he did was that he perjured himself, apparently. A year ago, he was asked under oath before Congress, did you decide to prosecute Hillary Clinton before or after you interviewed her? And he said after. Really, James? Because it's now been revealed that he wrote a statement exonerating Clinton.
Why did they
two months before
2 months
he
in May.
Interviewed her?
In May. Right. And there were 17 other people.
So it was a charade. The whole investigation was predetermined. He determined in advance that he was going to exonerate Clinton. Now, you know, was it the fix was in? Did somebody tell him to do that to protect Clinton? Or did he do it on his own? But either way, it's obstruction of justice.
And it's also, well, lying to Congress, I thought that was a crime, too. And then doesn't it put into context when you put the tarmac meeting with Loretta Lynch and him taking her talking point? It's a matter, not an investigation. doesn't it? It begins to fit a narrative, and the narrative is the fix was in.
You're absolutely right.
So then, I mean, but then bring it to what your article says. You think, look, I've always liked Jeff Sessions. I'm not calling on him to resign, but well, I do want him to step up.
Look, I think Jeff Sessions is a wonderful guy, a very fine U.S. senator. But it's easy to be a senator. You're one of 100. Being an attorney general is a very difficult job. And in my judgment, he's incompetent. He's incompetent because he's failed to take action where action is demanded. He has done nothing about Comey and Clinton, Susan Rice and Loretta Lynch.
Is there any way that behind the scenes he's doing all of these things?
No. We'd know it.
We'd know it.
Yeah, we would absolutely know it.
But he could reopen the investigation into the email server. He could investigate.
No, because he, in his confirmation hearings, if you'll recall, he recused himself from anything related to Hillary Clinton. Not just the Russian meddling, which he put into motion, you know, hours after he was sworn in. But he promised he would take no action against Hillary Clinton, which means he needs to appoint a second special counsel.
Then why would he be able to appoint the special counsel? Because it was Rod Rosenstein that did it the first time.
No, you don't want to use Rod Rosenstein and Robert
Mueller. He could do it even though he said he was recusing himself. He could just say, okay, I'm letting somebody else do
it. Yes, exactly. Okay. He could appoint a second special counsel.
You said he shouldn't resign before he takes action against Clinton,
right.
Comey, and Rice.
Here's what you do. You appoint a special counsel, and then you resign. And that's what he should do because he's not up for the job. I hate to say that because I really like the guy.
There's still time for him to get these things right, though.
There is. I mean, he's the Attorney General of the United States. He's the top lawyer in the U.S. He can take action against Clinton, Comey, and Rice, and Loretta Lynch. And he can undertake investigations,
right.
Except for Clinton, in which he would have to appoint a special counsel because
right.
he recused himself.
All right. Now, there's a Washington Examiner piece that came out today about Robert Mueller. And this, to me, is the most bizarre story in this whole fiasco, because it's become a fiasco.
Right.
And anyway, Mueller's office interviewed the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein. Now,
you even believe it?
Well, I mean,
Rosenstein appointed Mueller. So here is the underling interviewing his boss as a chief witness in an obstruction case against Donald Trump. So Rosenstein is both prosecutor and chief witness. You can't do that. I mean, for God's sakes, you get disbarred for doing something like that as a lawyer.
But everything seems to be out of whack. I mean, Comey himself has legal issues, but he's not being investigated because he's best friends with Mueller.
Right.
Then you have Rosenstein, I'm not sure how you say it. He is now involved in being interviewed by Mueller, but he appointed Mueller.
Right.
I mean, and then you got all the people that Mueller appointed. You got eight of them, Democratic donors to Clinton, Obama, the Democratic
right.
Party, zero Republican donors.
Right.
And Mueller's firm, 99.8% Democrat Hillary Clinton donors.
Is there any question, Sean, that Mueller is out to get Donald Trump?
No, I'm convinced. Now, here's what bothers me. I have my sources in the White House, and
right.
I talk to them, and they say, no, he's going to be fair. And I'm like, what are you thinking?
He's not.
I don't believe he's fair now.
He's not. They're being snookered. And I've talked to them also. And they
have you
think,
told them that?
Yeah, I have. And
what do they say when you say that?
Well, they don't believe me. But I guarantee you.
It's a bad bet.
Mueller has been a longtime partner, ally of James Comey. He was angered when Comey was fired. He is out to get the man who fired him, which is Donald Trump.
Which is why he leaked the information, government information, made on a government, in a government car, in a government computer, that he sent via his friend to the New York Times.
It's a crime. It is. Under the Privacy Act, it's a crime. It's also a crime to use your political public office for a political purpose. It's also a crime to steal government documents. That's what he did.
How come there are all these crimes that all these people have committed, and it's overwhelming the evidence and fairly incontrovertible? And I'm looking at all of this, and nobody investigates this. And Trump was right on March 4th when he talked about wiretapping.
Right.
And nobody seems to even care about that, because then it goes back to surveillance, unmasking, leaking intelligence. Those are all crimes. We've basically had with this president a leak a day.
Right.
No other president has
lived
through
this. Barack Obama was like a Gladys Kravitz, you know, who was the nosy neighbor.
Nobody under 50 knows who the hell you're talking about.
Everybody knows who I'm talking about. The woman who was peeking behind the blinds and listening to conversations. That's Barack Obama and his administration and Susan Rice and Samantha Power and John Brennan and all the others who were listening in. They were spying on President Trump, and they were listening to his conversation.
I want to get back to this. Greg Jarrett, legal analyst and with the Fox News Channel. You can get his columns on foxnews.com. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue on the other side. We'll pick it up right there. Katie Hopkins is in the next room, giddy and jumping for joy because for the first time she's in studio. Quick break. Right back. We'll continue. All right, as we continue, Greg Jarrett, Fox News analyst, is with us. All right, let's get back to the discovery that, in fact, I was right, the president was right, you were right, Sarah Carter was right, John Solomon was right, a couple of my colleagues, Mark Levin was right, a few of us were right, and there were warrants for Trump Tower.
FISA warrants.
FISA warrants. And she still thinks, Sarah Carter, that there might have been one criminal warrant.
That FISA, though, was a general FISA that covered the whole Russian hacking investigation. What we don't know is who was connected to that FISA. What was that FISA looking at? And that is very highly classified. Nobody wants to talk about that particular FISA right now.
What we know so far does not indicate that Trump Tower, my lines, as he put it, unless you were saying that he owns every single thing in Trump Tower.
Yeah, that is what he's saying.
The president came out about this, right? We all remember those tweets on March 4th. Let me just read them again for anyone who's forgotten. Terrible. Just found out that Obama had my, quote, wires tapped in Trump Tower just before the victory. Nothing found. This is McCarthyism. He continued, how low has President Obama gone to tap my phones during the very sacred election process? This is Nixon Watergate. Bad, open parentheses, or sick guy. He was derided for this. Mm-hmm. But, Mark, is he somehow vindicated tonight?
That we still haven't gotten to the bottom of.
Right. My problem is that FISA warrants are all secret. It's a secret court with secret judges. There's nobody.
Very hard to obtain, supposedly.
Right. Except if you submit false information in support of your application for a warrant. So, apparently, they used the anti-Trump dossier, which was purely fabricated, to support the warrant.
This is the Michael Steele dossier, just to remind people that talked about hookers at the Ritz peeing on a bed.
Okay. Right. I mean, it was totally absurd.
And Comey wanted to pay that guy $50,000.
Comey wanted it. He liked it. He used it in support of the warrants. So they spied on the president with fabricated evidence in support of a warrant. See, this is the problem with FISA secret courts. There's nobody there to challenge it. There's nobody there afterwards to challenge it because nobody knows it's happening except the judges. And the judges were snookered. They were fooled by this fake evidence. And the president is right to be outraged.
How come there's very few people in the media, even in the legal profession, that are willing to analyze this the way you are?
Because they hate Donald Trump. The mainstream media hates Donald Trump. They're out to get him. They'll do anything to bring him down. And look, I talk to lawyers all the time who communicate with me by phone and email, and they're outraged by this whole thing, but they're afraid to talk. So I talk, and I write columns. And
you have the same bullseye on your back as I do.
I do.
Welcome to the club.
You and I both.
Welcome to the club.
Walking down the street, it's a little dangerous.
Yeah, a little bit. All right, Greg Jarrett, great work. And you're going to join us tonight on TV. Hannity on the Fox News Channel, 10 Eastern. By the way, moving to 9 Eastern starting next week. We'll take we have a few surprises about that. Did I tell you about the surprises yet, Linda? We have a few little surprises. Take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue. This is the Sean Hannity Show.
Wow, good grief.
She's joined us in studio, which is even worse.
She's having a little march on the spot.
I
told her. Drill.
Oh, my gosh. Piers Morgan writes me today, goes, congratulations.
Oh, did he now?
On moving to nine. Can we get rid of, can we play something like that Katie really loves here? Let's go. Hands up.
Do not give me this raw.
Come on, I want you to sing it in person.
This.
First time in studio, Katie Hawkins is going to sing Florida Georgia Line, baby. This is how we roll. Let's hit it.
Mixtape's got a little Hank, little Drake, a little
something. The words, right? I need the...
Ready?
I'm ready.
Stronger than you think. You want a stronger drink? Sip. Feel right.
This is exactly like listening to hell whilst watching.
This is where the party's at. This is how we
roll. This is how we roll. I haven't got any lyrics, so I'll just say one word.
Light it up with your hands up.
This is how we roll.
This is how we ride.
Did you ever get out of first grade?
Shooting bullets at the sky. All right, this sounds like crap.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, so you just purposely made it. All right, the one and only Katie Hawkins is calling. Is in their studio today. She comes in with her British flag.
Yes, it is.
That music that you like as your introduction is horrific.
What it's fantastic.
What
I
do
love
you
it.
Use in real life? What kind of music do you listen to in real life? What do you like?
I like anything from the 80s. I like kind of the Pet Shop Boys, anything that's got a vaguely... Oh,
you're going to tell me George Michael next, I assume.
I quite like George Michael as well.
Well, Elton John couldn't be more popular in light of Donald Trump saying Rocket Man.
I know, how gorgeous was
Wasn't
he
that amazing?
It was the best moment of my life. So he stands there and he goes, if this Rocket Man carries on like this, we're going to destroy North Korea. And we all just went, yes, finally, someone in the UN finally, that speaks a bit of our language.
Let me
fantastic.
Play the media. I'm only going to play a snip. We got like 3 minutes of the media, and I played it early in the program today. These people losing their minds over Donald Trump calling this two-bit, you
speaking
know,
normally, speaking like a normal
speaking
person.
Like a normal, right?
Guess what? We had someone who spoke like a normal person and said the stuff that we say at home. He says in the UN. What's so wrong with that? We've got a human in the White House.
Okay.
Well, blow me down.
Blow me down. You work at the Daily Mail,
I
so
do.
You work at one of the better organizations. Although, if you have, when you attack me over there, you people are vicious.
We are. We're mean.
You are vicious.
And let me tell you, you've got lovely teeth. It's one thing I noticed. I walk up here to studio, you look around.
That's
Americans,
an American thing.
You are so good at teeth.
Let me
and
see
yours
your
are
teeth.
Pretty good. No, mine look like an old
these
witch
are the best
from
teeth.
Hell.
These are the best teeth money
I
can
see
buy.
That. I see that. And you're also
No, you can't tell they're fake.
You can't tell anything. No, they look a lot younger than you. That suggests they're fake.
You're so mean. Why are you being so mean to
I'm
me?
I'm just telling you the truth
so
as I see it.
So here's a funny story. So I played ice hockey my whole life, roller hockey, street hockey. That's all I played is hockey, hockey, hockey. And all of my friends lost teeth. All of them got stitches except me. So I figured, all right, dodge the bullet. Maybe I belong in TV.
But as you walk up to your offices here, now, your studio, that's one of the things you notice as a Brit is the blinding white teeth. And also, gentlemen here
well,
in Manhattan,
maybe there's a hint there for you
really
people
like
in
to,
Great Britain. What's
you
the
like
matter?
To wear a tight pant. That's the other thing I
you
noticed.
You like my tight jeans? Is that what you're saying?
No, just walking up behind gentlemen on the way here, it's a lot of high and tight pants.
High
Manhattan.
And tight pants?
Yes.
What's pants? Pantalones?
Pants, yes.
All right, so let's What, if you like white teeth, why don't people in Britain? It's called
I
dentistry.
I don't know. I know.
It's
Mine
called dentistry.
I know. It is a very. My daughters have braces. I missed out, obviously. That's why my teeth look like this.
I think your teeth look fine. I never noticed your teeth. Never would notice
no,
your teeth.
No, but I noticed yours.
Okay, so I fell off a roof. 2.5 stories, landed on my face. This part of my arm from here down was dangling like this. And
were you alone?
I bust. Well, I was alone.
Because the
thought
of you lying there alone makes me laugh.
Well, there was two other guys. Makes you laugh. Me nearly dying makes you laugh.
Lying on the floor with your face smashed in and your arm hanging off all alone.
You know.
I'm Sean Hannity. Hello.
You know, nobody knew who Sean Hannity was when I was a contractor and nobody cared. I don't think
that's
half the people care
life.
Now.
Yeah, but that's quite a good way to be, isn't it? Would you prefer to be known or not known?
I like anonymity better.
Mm.
And nobody
sure.
believes it. Oh,
no,
you guys in
true.
TV and radio, you get paid all this money. I never went into this for money. I went into it because even when I work for free and for 19 grand a year in radio, number one, I never dreamed I'd be successful. Ever.
And you're still not.
I'm still not. Exactly. Number two, all right, you're such a wise ass. God, what happened to you? Did your mother drop you on the head? Number two, I did it because I always want my country. I just love my country. I want my country to do better.
And it shows, and that's why people love you so much. And people on my Twitter are really nice about you. They love you very much.
All right, so Piers, I was going to have him call, and he just said, oh, I can't. I'm at dinner.
He's so important. He can't possibly.
He can't possibly pull himself away for 30 no, seconds.
But he had time just to go, oh, well done for getting your news
You slot. Know, it's funny because he was on CNN up against me, and I...
He lost.
Yeah, he did.
He lost. But you could say that.
No, he did, but that's not the point. I mean,
it is the point. You beat Piers Morgan. Woohoo! And I beat him on my columns as well.
Do you really? You get more clicks than him?
Yes, I tell him to find mine in the best red section because his don't ever go there.
Oh, ouch.
But and also, I'm a big believer in guns, so I win in America.
I said to him recently, I said, how stupid were you? As soon as you kept telling America to disarm, I'm like, thank you, cha-ching,
it's over.
Cha-ching,
it's
done.
See you later. Yeah, no, I'm very pleased that you beat him. But no, he's not a bad man.
No, he's not
a bad man.
No, he's irreverent, iconoclastic, he's tough. I love his Twitter fighting,
I love his fortunes.
Sick of Twitter. Oh, well, he does a morning show, right?
Yeah, right. Well, that's not, is that an excuse for having 15 chins? I don't know. What you get a morning show, does that mean all the women? Do the women have 15 chins? No, they don't. They still look very hot. Piers Morgan, ooh. Ate the sofa.
This is not okay.
It's not. Why are you being so mean?
So okay.
So last time you didn't meet me in person, and you just said to me,
"Thank
wow, you're a lot younger and stronger
still had
and
the
taller
vision.
In person."
I did not say any of that.
You called me chubby.
Well, I just said that you were sweating from under your man boobs or your moobs, and you tried to wrap them around me.
No, I did a ninja move on you.
A ninja. I trained pretty ninja.
I now train martial arts 5 days a week.
You're so hot. Do you know how hot you are?
No, how hot am I?
Literally.
Wait a minute. Let me do Howard Stern. No. How hot am I? Tell me.
On a scale of 1 to 10, you're about a 2.
2?
Yeah, it's so hot. So hot.
Be nice.
Stop being mean. You're so nice for my ego. This is really helpful.
Is it helping you?
Oh, no. I'm going to walk out of here.
Not really much. I don't, you know, I'm not.
By the way, you're tinier than I ever dreamed. And,
but
like, I can't believe all this irreverence and hate comes out of somebody so tiny.
It's really annoying.
What's annoying?
But everybody always says that because they have an impression of me.
Yeah, that you're bigger than
big,
life.
Or maybe even fat. And so when I'm in cars and people have heard me on my radio show,
have a radio show.
Yeah, right. And yeah, anymore. They say your voice is different to how I imagined. And I say, well, what's my voice like?
Right.
And they say, your voice is fat. So I don't know how your voice is. Grumpy old man.
You're so mean. You're so mean. So I will tell
grumpy
you what.
Grumpy old man needs to get out more. Or not.
Is this your show or mine? Do I get to say anything?
Mine? It's always mine when I'm on. You know that.
I know that.
Deal.
All right. So people do say, you're a lot skinnier and younger and taller in person. So I'm like, what? I'm a
and
fat old short guy on TV? What do you mean by that? That's like a horrible thing to say.
I think it's because on like seeing you now, you look like the sort of bloke that you'd go for a beer with. You look like a sort of friendly guy, da, da, da. And on TV, I guess you've got your suit on and you're purposeful and you're supporting Trump. And so you seem bigger and more stern. Maybe that's it. Like this, you seem quite friendly.
Well, TV and radio are very different.
I'd ask you for directions if I saw you on the street now.
What does that mean, asking for it? Is that some kind of code that you want to...
It's like a British thing. Like, there's people you wouldn't ask directions because you're like, oh, you're going to follow me.
So I pass the low bar standard.
Low bar. And my bar's low. Like, I used to work in Disneyland Paris and as a security guard.
No way.
Yeah, as my holiday job. And we used to pull pedophiles out the Peter Pan maze.
Right.
So that's my bar.
Did you have a flask that you'd take sips from all day?
It was brilliant. I had like a uniform and everything, and I could run around being dramatic. I was useless. I was the most useless security guard ever.
You know, I could see you playing a Disney character.
Yeah, me too.
Problem with that is you'd hit one of the kids. You would lose your patience. So why did you lose your radio show?
Because after the Manchester bombing, where you know another jihadi lunatic took out our children, girls,
right, I remember.
My daughter's age, yeah, I came down and I tweeted, "We need a final solution to."
That's right.
Yeah, and that wording on that tweet was sufficient to get
Were
rid of
you
me.
In your? Just be honest. We don't care. Were you in your mind thinking about the final solution?
Christ, no, I was thinking it's 7:30.
You were saying,
morning.
"We need an answer."
My husband was going, "You need to. You're going to have a busy day. You need to move because, you know, I'm usually responding to that sort of thing."
Did you correct it right away? As soon as you figured it out?
About 5 minutes later.
And they still fired you from the radio show?
Yes, and the tweet wasn't related to my radio show, wasn't on air or any of those things.
It was just a tweet on your own account.
I deleted and then amended and
apologized. But you know, this is a serious topic because there's people right now sitting in their underwear in New Mexico, right? In New Mexico, and that's only one state. And seriously, there are groups paid millions of dollars to monitor shows like mine, and in the hopes that I say one thing.
Yes.
One thing.
Yes.
And even if I made an honest mistake, you were on the show once, and one of these groups wrote something about us. Do you remember what one of those groups was writing about me and Katie, and we crossed the line? And
You were both fat?
That we're talking about underwear or something stupid. Just something irreverent and fun and
they
just kind of lightening
anything.
The program up a little bit. You don't remember?
It will have been something. Maybe it's shaving my legs. I usually talk about
that. Something like that.
Something
stupid.
Like that, we were talking about razors.
Something stupid.
Yeah.
And, you know, something fun, something relatable. And I have a gun at my head every hour
yes,
I'm on the
do.
Air because they want to kill me.
Yes,
they
you
want,
do.
Politically speaking, they want me dead and they want me silenced.
Exactly right.
And just like you.
And it's not individuals operating like that. It's a coordinated, systematic effort through networks of linked individuals in different kind of lobbying groups. And that's how it works. I would have been gutted if I got fired for my numbers. But given we were the most listened to radio show in my time slot, I guess I can take away that. But
I couldn't syndicate my radio program in Great Britain. I bet it would do well.
Yeah, of course it would do well. It would fly.
But they wouldn't put me on the air.
Not a chance because I have a passion for Trump. You
right.
have a passion for Trump. That's not a permissible
Do the people
opinion.
Of Great Britain have a passion for Trump?
Yes, there's loads of them. And that's why, you know, part of my radio show was this one last remaining space. I felt like I was holding open the cupboard doors in London and letting this little thing come through that went, we love Trump. And then I'd have gays for Trump because they don't have a voice. And then you'd have, you know, even the left. I'm a liberal left. I support Trump. And they had a voice for a moment in time, but now those doors are shut.
By the way, we don't even know who's running your government anymore. Jeez.
We don't know
it's
either.
A mess.
We have no clue.
All right,
we
stay right
no
there. We'll take a break. Katie Hopkins, you know, there's no point ever in having a topic when we bring her on the air because she's just going to take over the program anyway. And poor Geraldo, you were just brutal to him. And he's
I
a
know.
Friend of mine. You were brutal.
Oh, he's like, wah, 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 I know the president. Wah, wah, wah. I'm still going to say
Yeah, that's
him
exactly
also.
What he was
wah,
doing. Wah, wah, wah.
Wah.
He was doing that.
Like, I don't care if you're friends with the president. I don't care if you go to
You mentioned your husband.
House.
How many years have you been married?
Too long. Like 8 years, which is an all-time record for me and beats my first marriage, which was less than a year.
Yeah. I
so
bet
like,
you're really easy to live with, too.
I'm like a joy.
Are you like this at home?
Yeah. He wakes up in the morning and he goes, oh, damn. And I'm like, what is it? And he goes, oh, I just realized I'm married to you. It's like every day of his damn life. He's got that.
We'll take a break. Katie Hopkins is with us. We'll get to your calls and we'll play some of these tapes I've been talking about. We'll get back to that. Hey, sometimes basic security in your life is obvious. Like, for example, Katie locks her front door, right? You have crime in Great Britain.
And, yeah, we do.
All right.
Do.
There's a lot of murder and everything that we, although nobody has an ability to defend themselves in your country, which is dumb. Anyway, but did you know, for example, if you leave your Wi-Fi router unsecure, that these cyber thieves can literally walk in once inside your home. They access your credit card numbers, medical records, and any other personal information stored on any connected device like a laptop or a smartphone. Now, there is a way to secure it, and that's where Norton, backed by Symantec, comes in. They have a brand new home Wi-Fi router that's called Norton Core. And Norton Core will secure devices that are connected to your home network. It monitors an unlimited number of connected devices for suspicious activity. It isolates any threat you have. It's a really cool, unique design that you're going to love inside your house. And Norton Core will enable stellar Wi-Fi speed and coverage. So it's unbelievable. Just go to this website. One word, getnortoncore.com. Getnortoncore.com. Use my name, Hannity. When you check out, you save $40. And, of course, nobody can guarantee every protection against every cyber threat. But Norton Core is the best. And they're going to help protect you against these cyber criminals that can hack into your home network and access all that personal data. All right, go to this website, getnortoncore.com, Hannity promo, save $40. Quick break, right back. We'll continue the gobby one. Katie Hopkins is blowing up the radio show again. Why we invite her on, I have no idea. We'll continue.
Replace Obama's executive orders, then you've come to the right place. The Sean Hannity Show.
Sean Hannity Show. We'll get to your calls next half hour, 800-941-SEAN. Katie Hopkins is in town. So I got a crazy busy night, but you and my team are going out to dinner, and I'm going to stop by and hang out with you for as long as it's humanly possible.
What you mean is that you're dipping out, but you're just going to put a head in, just politely. foot through the door.
Okay, I'm dipping out, and yes, I'm just stopping in, and I'm going to say hello.
Oh, that's lovely.
And, you know, I can't imagine you and Linda together drinking, which is going to be a very bad scene
for
everybody.
You don't have to imagine it anymore. We're going to bring it live to you here in New York.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. I'm really looking
forward to it. I think we ought to put out an all-points bulletin. And
we were going to Facebook Live it.
Here's the thing. If you guys are hanging out with Jason, you know where you're going to end up at the end of the night, right?
I don't want to go there. That's a bar for men, not for women.
You know what? Katie Hopkins deserves to see Coyote Ugly.
We're going to put Katie Hopkins on the bar at Coyote Ugly? No, we're not.
No, we're not.
No, you don't have to put her on there. She probably
would
go.
But that's where she'll end up, and you know it.
Yes, we do know
that.
Hey,
Jason, how would that go over at your favorite tavern?
They'd love to have her. They'd love to, with that attitude, they'd love to have her. They might offer a job before the night's through.
They'd love to see her go after she's
I don't even think Ethan's allowed to go because he just got married. Have you ever been there, Ethan? Would you ever go?
I would never go.
Did you just get married?
I did.
How long ago?
April.
You still like her?
I still love her.
Why would you think he doesn't like his
wife? Which is an honest question, isn't it? Do you ever look at her and think, oh, rats, picked the wrong one?
No. I look at her and think, what the hell was she thinking?
Right. Is she hotter than you?
Way hotter.
That is such a good game. You know, when two people are walking towards you and you go, who did better? He did, she did. And then you pick the person out of the partnership that did better.
That's me.
You got a hotter wife.
Way hotter.
Who's hotter in your marriage, Katie?
Me. I'm way hotter. No. It's totally my husband, actually.
So, now they have this ridiculous standard. What is it? Fit and proper.
It's fit and proper. Yes.
What does fit and proper mean?
Fit and proper means that you abide by the state propaganda, which says that Palestine is fantastic, that Trump is wrong, that Clinton is always right.
Well, anyway, Katie Hopkins, we love you. We're glad you can come to New York. I will, what do you call it? Pop in and out?
Pop in and out. You'll
pop
put
in.
Show your face.
Show my face. Hello.
Don't show your bottom.
Hello,
show your face.
Hello. Show my bottom?
Yes. Don't show your bottom. Show your face.
Oh, okay. Katie Hopkins, great to see you in New York. We love you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
You guys have fun tonight, and I'll pop in, as you say.
Thank you.
All right. 800-941-SHAWN. Your calls, comments, intuitive insight, observations are straight ahead.
Bottom line is, and always has been, there is no evidence that Donald Trump was wiretapped by Barack Obama. It was and continues to be a lie.
Our conspiracy theory president is at it again. And whenever something like this happens, I wonder, what are the president's sources of information? Where is he getting these ideas?
And that has been denied by President Obama, by the former director of national intelligence, and now we know it as well by the FBI director. They are all saying it did not happen. So is the president calling all three of those individuals liars?
I don't think they're taking seriously enough how devastating this is to the American system for one president to say, my predecessor wiretapped.
John? We have been living in, really through the Trump campaign and unto this hour, this alternative reality.
The way that Donald Trump seems to think about what a president can do feels very Nixonian, that he has a much more inflated view of a president's powers. For him to believe that a president could even, in theory, because the election is on, go in and tap the opponent of his preferred candidate.
Trump's mind is a little bit of a mystery to me. So.
Now, there was also a separate FISA. It was an overall FISA. I don't have as much information on that. That FISA, though, was a general FISA that covered the whole Russian hacking investigation. What we don't know is who was connected to that FISA. What was that FISA looking at? And that is very highly classified. Nobody wants to talk about that particular FISA right now. There is a distinction between a FISA and then a wiretapping, but they did tap. I mean, they were looking.
Hold on a second, Maggie, because I do think it sounds like the president was right. If Paul Manafort has a residence in Trump Tower and Paul Manafort was being surveilled and wiretapped, Trump Tower was wiretapped.
No, it was not. I'm sorry.
How do you know?
Well, I don't know, but I know that what we know so far does not indicate that Trump Tower, my lines, as he put it, were, unless you were saying that he owns every single thing in Trump Tower.
Yeah, that is what he's saying.
The president came out about this, right? We all remember those tweets on March 4th. Let me just read them again for anyone who's forgotten. Terrible. Just found out that Obama had my, quote, wires tapped in Trump Tower just before the victory. Nothing found. This is McCarthyism. He continued, how low has President Obama gone to tap my phones during the very sacred election process? This is Nixon Watergate. Bad, open parentheses, or sick guy. He was derided for this. Mm-hmm. But, Mark, is he somehow vindicated tonight?
You realize, and I said this to a reporter earlier today, begging me to do an interview with him. And I'm like, I turned down the New York Times Sunday cover. I'm not doing you. Actually, it's a nice person wants, but you need to get your opinions out. So many of your critics, you say, don't understand you. I said, they're never going to understand me. And I said, if I gave every one of them $1 million, they would still hate me and still think I am evil. I said, so I'm not going to convince them. And why am I going to waste my time trying? I'm not. There's nothing I can do or say that's ever going to make anyone in the media like me. Now, there you hear the media was mocking the president when he tweeted out that, in fact, Trump Tower had been wiretapped. Well, it turns out he was right. And it turns out he's right almost so many times he's proven right. He was right about bin Laden. How early was he was talking about bin Laden? Then we first reported with Sarah Carter on radio and TV on March the 8th. The president had tweeted that out March the 4th. The media beat him up day in and day out. That's when they started suggesting he's a liar, 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 and he's mentally unhinged. Well, now CNN, their anchors admit Trump was wiretapped. In other words, if they're wiretapping Paul Manafort in the conversations when he is the campaign chair, everything Sarah Carter and John Solomon reported is true. So they finally admit it. But it doesn't matter. This president can do nothing right in their eyes. Nothing. They are locked into their positions, and their position is delegitimize and paint a caricature of the president. I'll give you another example. Let me play this CNN criticizing what I thought was an amazing speech at the United Nations.
Look, this wasn't a speech. This was a sermon. And he wasn't a president. He was a preacher up there, given his dark worldview about threats and conflict. This was a speech about conflict around the world, not a speech about cooperation. And that's a real shame.
I do think there is a bit of a contradiction in his presentation today, talking about sovereignty, talking about a renewal of spirit for all of these nations, talking about nations needing to be patriotic. I imagine if you talk to folks in Venezuela, you talk to folks in North Korea, they imagine that they are being patriotic, right?
Almost trying to teach himself at an eighth grade level about, you know, basic sovereign multinational issues. But I agree completely. This was absolutely very stark, very absent of any of the normal universal values and mutual cooperation that we try to seek in these international bodies.
Well, Wolf, I thought that was one of many examples of how intellectually confused, if not outright incoherent, this speech was. If you just think about it, in one breath, he was urging the world to come together and collectively confront the threat of North Korea. And then in the next breath, he is chiding the world. So this is a guy who goes around thumbing his nose at international entities and international attempts to confront global challenges.
This was a very somber, dark speech, if you will, Wolf. And I remember thinking back to the first appearance that President Obama made here in 2009 as president. Of course, a far different reception. Of course, he had a booming, enthusiastic applause.
It was remarkable to see a leader of any country, but the president of the United States standing in the well of the United Nations General Assembly, threatening to totally destroy, not retaliate, not hurt, not isolate, not prove a point, totally destroy a country.
And I spoke a short time ago to a senior UN diplomat who described it to me this way, saying that he, diplomats around him, were taken aback. He described it to me like a wind had gone through the room when the president uttered those words, "We will totally destroy North Korea." He said it was an emotional reaction. It's those words about North Korea that particularly sparked a reaction in that room. Audible gasps, I'm told. Extremely unusual. An emotional reaction, as this diplomat said.
This is CNN.
Now, here's what they're not criticizing before I play this for you. They're not criticizing that Rocket Man. I love that nickname. It is so good. You know, Elton John's got to be loving this. Somebody told me that Elton John's Rocket Man song skyrocketing to the top of the charts again. And it's a great song. I have seen Elton John in concert twice. I saw him once at Rush Limbaugh's wedding, and that was amazing. And then I happened to see him. I got an invite last minute when I was covering the Super Bowl last year with the owners of the Patriots, Robert Kraft. He goes, "Oh, why don't you come to our private party?" After I interviewed him on the TV show. So I'm like, "Can I bring my staff?" And he's like, "Sure, bring everybody." So we all went, and there was another private concert. And he's just an amazing performer, as evidenced through the many decades that he has done this. And it's just, it's timeless music is what it is. He really has captured and understands music better than anybody. Anyway, so CNN is now criticized. What can he do right in their view? Nothing. It is 24/7 Trump derangement syndrome.
Hold on, we have a special dedication for you.
Hands up, everybody. Pull out your cell phones. Kim Jong-un. I mean, so it's timeless. Anyway, here's the media. He can do nothing right at the UN. Nobody's critical of the fact that he's firing missiles, Rocket Man, over Japan. He's threatening Guam. He's threatening the free world. He's a lunatic. And of course, he's kept no agreement he's ever made. So the whole world's in jeopardy. Let's blame the guy that's telling them they better knock it off, or they will see the death and destruction before the rest of the world does. All right, let's get to our busy phones here. 800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number. All right, really close to my hometown where I grew up, Franklin Square, Long Island, New York, in Rockville Center, it's Susan. Susan, hi, how are you? Glad you called. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Sean.
What's going on? How are you?
I'm great. I wanted to tell you how excited I am that you're going back to 9 o'clock. I was upset when you went to 10, but I still watched.
Thank you.
But 9 o'clock is such a great, it's a great time slot. And then you can go up against, you know, what's her name with the dark one-room glasses, you know?
You know, it seems everybody I'm going up against at 9 o'clock wears the same glasses. I bought myself a pair. And maybe I'll wear it my first moments on the air. You know, can I comment about this? Because thank you for your support. And
oh, God. I've always supported you. You are unbelievable.
You know what motivates me is, and you know Franklin Square, because Franklin Square and Rockville Center are identical, really. And Lynbrook, Malvern, all those towns, closely. They're just very much middle America, World War II heroes, fought all over. I mean, just amazing place for me to grow up and tough, but not too tough. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Really good salt of the earth people that make the country great. Everybody's trying to set this up as Hannity versus conspiracy theorist. Well, no. Now, you and I both know they're going to be on her side. And
of course.
I am just giving you the unbridled ratings truth here. In August, I'm at 10, she's at 9, and literally she barely beat me. And she was number one, I was number two. So I'm starting out as the underdog here. But
you were number one for a very long time after
Listen, I am number one in my time slot now. But, you know, I'm not looking for the first day. I'm not looking for the first week. All my life I've gone up against giants. I went up against a 30-year veteran, one of the most talented guys in radio and talk radio in the country, Neil Bortz, and I was the only guy that was able to compete with this guy over all those years. I went up in New York when I first went to Afternoon Drive against Bob Grant. Bob Grant, as you know, a legend in New York.
Yeah.
When I went on TV, it was first against Larry King, Geraldo Rivera, and Brian Williams, all on the first night I went on the air. And I can proudly say I've won every battle, but I'm not predicting anything except I'm going to ask for your support and the support of this audience to make us number one. And, you know, let's see where we stand a few months from now.
You know what I'd love to see you do?
Yeah.
Those panels that you haven't done them in a while where you have an audience and you ask them questions and they're from all sides of the aisle.
Yes.
They're very effective.
You
and
like
when
those?
I love them because when you have regular people in that audience.
I like it too.
You're getting average Americans who are giving you their opinion. And think about this. Hillary Clinton is running around the world now. She's running around with this book. She can't figure out what happened. Well, you know, what happens is no one liked you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's so ridiculous. I say let her stay out there because if she stays out there, she's the face of the Democrat Party.
What motivates me is I want this country to be stronger economically, with more opportunity, with the forgotten men and women having the same shot that we had, you from Rockville Center, me from Franklin Square. I want this country safe and secure, and I want America to prosper and to be the best nation it can be. Nobody else in television talks ever about solutions to our problems.
And you're absolutely right.
And for me, I'll be in a political fight with everybody. I don't care. But it's not all about politics either. When you win, you got to also govern. To me, it's always been about the agenda. It's always about the people that make this country great. I can tell you, I am as motivated now than I've ever been in any time in my life because the stakes are that important. So, your support means everything to me. Trust me, I handle these things a lot better than anybody knows, and I'm ready for what I've signed up for here, and I'm excited to be back. And the only thing I'll promise you is this, Susan, we're going to, A, work our tail off every day to put the best show on, and number two, hey, Susan, we have a lot of surprises coming. Stay tuned, okay?
That too. So wait, just one more thing,
Susan,
before you go.
Susan, a lot of surprises coming. Stay tuned.
You're ready for my last comment?
Yes.
Okay. I'm a photographer, and the other day when Linda was saying that your face up on drugs was a great shot,
yeah,
she was absolutely right. I would love to photograph you, but it was a great shot.
So you're a photographer?
I am.
All right. I couldn't look at Drudge most of the day that day. I looked at the news stories. I didn't want to look at a picture of myself. It's weird.
Well, that's because it's yourself. Everybody else looked at it.
All right. You're very nice. Listen, Susan, if I didn't tell you. A lot of surprises. Okay. Stay tuned.
Yep. I'm waiting.
Never give your secrets away. Never, ever. All right, got to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue. It's the Sean Hannity Show. All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. Don't forget, Hannity moves to 9 p.m. next week, but we're on at 10 tonight on the Fox News Channel. You don't want to miss it. The battle over Obamacare, the history of North Korean aggression, the insane media freakout over the president's speech, and much more. We have Michelle Malkin tonight. Joe Concha is going to talk about the media freakout. Then we got Sarah Carter, Greg Jarrett. How is it possible that Rod Rosenstein actually was interviewed by Mueller? Sarah Carter, Greg Jarrett, and Judge Jeanine tonight, 10 Eastern on Hannity. See you back here tomorrow. See you tonight at 10.